Welcome to Money Mindset, a vibrant chapter of the diversity discourse universe, where we help you build wealth one shift at a time. My name is Allison Tate. I'm a certified financial planner, tax strategist, and owner of A Very Wealth Management. We are a financial planning and tax advisory firm that works with business owners around the country to help design their dream life while paying less taxes. Visit our website at averywealth.com, averewealth.com, or you could follow me on LinkedIn at Allison Tate. My first name is spelled A-L-L-E-S-O-N. Last name is T-A-T-E. Today's topic is mentally preparing for your first million. Achieving $1 million a year is a significant milestone for many business owners. But along the way, there are a lot of misconceptions that can help significantly hinder your progress. It's really important to understand and overcome the misconceptions so that you can grow and achieve success within your business. To help lead this conversation today, I'm joined by Emily Scholl. She's a holistic money coach and founder of Me, Myself, and Money. She helps you understand and heal your relationship with money so that you can attract, keep, and enjoy money without the anxiety or overwhelm. Emily does this by guiding you through the emotional root of your unease with money. She is known for her calm voice, non-judgmental manner, and ability to help you realize a more peaceful relationship with money and yourself. Welcome, Emily.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Allison.
I am excited for you to be with us today. Let's dig right in. What common misconceptions do business owners have about achieving $1 million a year? And how can they shift their mindset to overcome these misconceptions?
I love how you phrased that question, Allison, and especially using the word mindset, because I think the concept of mindset is actually often misunderstood, and this can take us down the wrong path. So when we think of mindset, it implies that we simply need to think differently about money. And first of all, that's not how our brain works. And secondly, if we believe that we just need to think differently, we're just going to frustrate ourselves. So I'll give you some examples in just a moment. But just to clarify, it's not about thinking. It's about what we know to be true. Because our actions, taking actions, following a strategic plan so that we can get our company to $1 million a year, our actions come from our beliefs. Our beliefs come from thoughts. And our thoughts come from our personal experiences that we have. So money beliefs come from personal, emotional experiences that we have, usually early in life. So take for an example, you have your own business, you want to create your first $1 million a year, but something that happened to you a very long time ago could be getting in your way. So it's not simply a matter of thinking, okay, this is what I want to do, I'm going to do it, I'm going to believe that I can. It's about getting to the root of your money belief in the first place. And this can be from so many different sources. So for example, say your uncle had a very successful business when you were growing up, and he was so successful, he decided to open a second branch of the business. And when he expanded, he was overextended and he was actually lost everything. So if you felt that emotionally strongly enough, then that can hamper your ability when you're about to meet a milestone in your business without even knowing it. It could trigger something in you that prevents you from taking the actions necessary to get there. So this is an example using using money, having a direct money experience that leads to this behavior, but it can also have nothing to do with money. For example, say you are in high school and you are the president of a student association and you have a large event It draws a lot of attention. It draws a lot of media. And you read the comments and people are just very nasty and have very unkind things to say about you. That could show up in your business when you're ready to take your business to the next level and need more media exposure, for example. You could have this resonating in you, but if you don't connect the dots, then all you know is that you have an intention, you have a plan to get there, and for some reason, you're just not able to get there.
Well, that's scary because, because it's hard for people to identify or even make the connection about something that may have happened to them or in their childhood or just within their family that might be hindering them, their growth and progress today. How does one even begin to make those connections or identify those situations?
Yes, it can seem difficult to find the root of this, but actually starting with how you're feeling is really the best way into it. So whenever you feel resistance, that is a sure sign that you have a money belief that is stopping you from making progress. So the first step I would recommend is just to recognize when you feel resistance. I want to do something, I have a plan, and I'm just not able to do it. I know what I should be doing, I'm not able to do that. Take a moment and feel into your body. Where do I feel this? Often we can feel this physically. It can show up as a tightening in our throat or in our stomach. Another good way is to think, when did I first feel this feeling? Even if it's a feeling that you can't identify. When did I first, what does this remind me of? And the earlier back you can go, the better. Another strategy for identifying the root of our money beliefs is to think of an image. And I even encourage people to draw an image. Draw an image of the fear that you're feeling. Draw an image of what is blocking you. And when we do this, we're able to access a part of our brain where our emotions are stored. And the emotions are linked with the memories and where the beliefs were made.
Okay, that's powerful. Those are definitely some tools, some exercises that I'm going to do on my own, especially when you mentioned feeling tightness in your throat, right? So I do believe that that comes from like a blockage, like in your throat chakra, and it may just come from your inability and unease to speak and voice like what's on your mind. It may be holding you back from trying to market your business or, you know, really get into the limelight that you need to help grow your business and get to that $1 million point. That's very insightful. So what are some of those money beliefs that you mentioned that can be preventing owners from reaching that $1 million milestone?
Oh, they can be so many. I worked with a client once who had a very hard time saving money, and she recognized that whenever she got to a certain point, something would happen. So she could save it to a certain point, and there's always a specific dollar figure, and then it would go back again. And it turned out it had something to do with her father, and who she lost at an early age. And that was his final salary. And so she felt somehow if she earned more than him, it would disrupt her connection with him. So it varies incredibly. Our money beliefs are so individual. They have to do with our own experiences, usually in childhood, and how, more importantly, how emotionally they were felt to us. So the more emotional it felt, the deeper the impact it had. And it's about finding those experiences and then being able to disconnect the experience from the meaning we made from it at the time. Because when we have these experiences when we're young, our brain forms beliefs based on what we've experienced at the time. We don't have the perspective of an adult. And so often they don't make any logical sense, which is why our own behavior as adults baffle us so often. I know what I should be doing. I can't make myself do it. What is going on? It's because we actually are reacting from a child's mind.
So powerful. Can you share some specific mindset strategies or practices that successful business owners have used to help transition their business from 6 to 7 figures?
I'd say the most successful strategy is to focus on your own thoughts so that you're able to understand when you're meeting resistance and you're able to figure out where that came from. One thing I'll say about this is that we hear a lot about affirmations, vision boards, and they can be very helpful, particularly when we need to get something done. There is no not doing this. We need to get it done and we're facing resistance. Then affirmations, visualizations are very powerful and they can make you get things done in the moment. However, in the long term, you can only push yourself and use willpower so much. And either your immune system is going to catch up, your relationships are going to pay for it, you know, something is going to get in the way. So in the long run, you really need to understand those subconscious beliefs that we all have that sometimes keep us in the way of doing something that we want to do. Because if we have a conscious belief, I want $1 million a year, yet we have a subconscious belief, having $1 million a year is going to be unsafe for me, then the subconscious is always going to win every time. So affirmations, they're wonderful in the short term, but as a long-term strategy, they're not going to work.
I like it. Okay. How important is it for business owners to align their personal beliefs and values with financial success, especially when they're aiming for that $1 million year?
Oh, I think having your personal beliefs as part of your action plan is so critically important. Why do you want to earn $1 million a year? You know, why is that important to you to begin with? And if you focus on the why, you're able to broaden that and bring along other aspects of your life that are also important. Because what is the point of having $1 million a year if your relationships are going to suffer? Or if you want it for the prestige and respect, yet the prestige and respect don't come with higher earnings. So I think it's really critically important to understand the why behind our goals. And you know, this is really common. I have a colleague who realized he was trying to build up a legacy for his family, and it dawned on him one day, oh my goodness, I'm thinking that I want to build up a financial legacy for my children, but I realized that the legacy I'm providing and leaving them is one of a harsh, frugal father who was always arguing with his children that every time they were on vacation, it was a painful decision of where do we go to eat? No, we can't go there. We have to stay in this hotel. It's less expensive. And he wanted to leave a large legacy for his children, but he was realizing that, no, he was ruining their relationship in the meantime. So having this larger perspective is really crucial. I don't encourage business owners to think smaller, but I do encourage them to think broader about what is behind the goal and what else do you want to achieve and how do you do that in harmony so that you not only meet your financial goal, but also your other life goals at the same time.
I think that's so important to start with your why and really understand why you want to get to that 7-figure mark. Because some business owners, you know, I think for initially when you're starting your business, you might be thinking, I just want to get to 6 figures. Because that seems just to be kind of like the playing field, particularly like in today's economy, where a lot of people say you need kind of like that 6-figure income to just have a decent life. But when you're really thinking about growing from that 6 to 7 figures, I think it is important to understand the why portion even more, because some people have gotten to that 7-figure mark where they recognize, well, you just have to sacrifice all of your relationships, your friendships, your spouse or your partner, because that was critical and needed to get to that 7-figure mark. And to your point earlier, it's like, do you want to get to that 7-figure mark and having like lost your family or your spouse or your partner in the process? Was it really worth it if that occurs? And so I think understanding that why is super important.
Absolutely.
What role does resilience play in the journey to $1 million a year? And how can business owners cultivate a resilient mindset to help navigate challenges and setbacks along the way?
Yeah, recognizing your strength and how you overcame challenges in the past is really vital to maintaining momentum. So getting you to your goal and then making sure that you maintain that goal. It is so natural to be faced with doubts and insecurities, and every milestone we tackle and we face, the more fear, the more insecurities is going to come out. Every time we attempt to do something we haven't done before, it's naturally going to present itself. That's why I think it's important to keep in mind all of your past accomplishments. And when I work with clients, we have this two-tiered approach. So I take an outside-in approach, which is trying to get them to have a broader perspective about their accomplishments and beliefs. They actually do a life inventory, which I recommend everyone do, where it's a chance for you to toot your own horn, going decade by decade, what accomplishments you made. And this can be very challenging for a lot of people. We're usually not used to bragging about ourselves unless we're interviewing for a job. Mm-hmm. But it can be very powerful because there's so much that we experience in life that we don't give ourselves credit for. We're so used to comparing ourselves with other people. But what this does is it allows us to take a larger perspective and say, you know, I'm not comparing myself to my neighbor, just me. Wow, what was I able to accomplish?
I love that because last year, so I've been a business owner on my own for the last 2.5 years. And it is very easy to forget everything that you've accomplished along the way and like every milestone, every victory. And at the end of last year, I said, okay, I need to give myself a little more credit for how far I've actually come. And I started the year by creating like a Notion file where I'm actually like keeping track of my weekly wins. So that when I get to the end of this year, I can actually look back. And so if I'm hard on myself because maybe I didn't reach that 7-figure goal, I can look back and say, well, you didn't quite hit it, but like, look at all the amazing things you did throughout the year that are just setting you up for that success next year. And so I think to your point about kind of capturing those moments throughout your life and like writing them down so that you don't forget is super important just to help motivate you to keep going.
I love that you have that file, Allison. Oh, that is such a wonderful example. And yeah, I think it really helps. It can be so helpful to broaden our thought about, you know, what actually is an accomplishment. It's so easy to compare ourselves to others. I was working with someone once who, when she always compared herself to her neighbors, like even the people who, you know, they were in the same socioeconomic group, they went to the same high school. You know, the neighbors had daughters who were about her age, and her neighbors' daughters were able to, they each bought a house in their early 20s. And my client felt like, oh, you know, I should be able to do the same. But when we looked back at her money history, her parents never encouraged her to actually, you know, take those financial steps to become financially independent. And in fact, her neighbors, for her 16th birthday, her neighbors bought her stocks in company.
Oh, wow.
And everyone said, ooh, ah, wow, that's so exciting. And so I said to her, okay, and how did your parents react? And she said, yeah, they didn't really say anything, or they didn't give her any guidance as to what the stock means, what to do with the stock. So of course, her neighbors had a completely different mindset and a completely different belief system when it came to money, and obviously they provided for their children early and gave them the tools. And so taking a step back and being able to see, oh, well, no wonder, given that I grew up this way, given that I didn't have the financial education my neighbors had, of course, I'm here, of course, they are there. I think it's very helpful when we're able to review our own history and have a sense of coarseness about it.
Absolutely. Many entrepreneurs struggle with imposter syndrome or fear of failure as they approach significant milestones. How can they overcome these psychological hurdles and maintain confidence in their ability to achieve $1 million a year?
Yeah, I think there are kind of two answers to this question. And the first one is that to recognize not only individually where you are and how your history has shaped you, but also to recognize where you are in the context of society. For example, you know, there was a really great article, I believe it was in the Harvard Business Review, "Stop Telling Women They Have Imposter Syndrome," came out a couple years ago. And it highlighted the fact that, you know, we tend to blame people as individuals for having some self-doubt and confidence issues in the workplace, yet we don't explore, you know, the larger, the historical and the cultural context in which this takes place. So I think it's really important both to understand your own personal journey and your history and experiences, but also understand, you know, culturally, socially, politically, where do you fit into all of this, into the larger society? Because that creates a whole bunch of other pressures and expectations and judgments, and it's important to realize that as well.
Excellent. For business owners who are just starting to shift their mindset towards achieving that $1 million a year, what practical steps or exercises would you recommend they incorporate into their daily routine?
You know, this might sound not related, but it is so foundational. I recommend that everybody begin a meditation, a daily meditation routine, because what that does is it gets you attuned to what you're thinking. And that is the foundation to understanding your beliefs, your patterns of behavior, and where they came from.
That's actually so important and something that I would like to do as well. Sometimes it's just important. So in my head, I was just thinking about the fear in general that a lot of business owners might experience, or maybe I'm just speaking from my own personal experience. But I remember sharing this with my therapist that, you know, I just may have fear about this, that, and the third. And sometimes it can feel so paralyzing. And she said something that stuck with me, which is just like, fear is a normal part of life. You just have to acknowledge it. Say like, I see you. I acknowledge you, but I'm still pressing forward. And I almost wonder if that can be incorporated in someone's daily meditation.
Yeah, I think absolutely. And naming it is one of the best ways in order to, you know, name it to tame it. Once we recognize what we're feeling, then it loses its power over us. And that's the power of meditation, is it makes you able to, throughout the day, recognize what you're feeling, because so many of us are really cut off from that information that we have in our nervous system and in our body. And so it's just being able to recognize in a moment, oh my gosh, all of a sudden I'm really agitated. What is that about? What am I feeling? And what does this have to tell me? I think, you know, the quote negative emotions or feelings that we have are really good teachers, because they often point to either something that we need, like physically, maybe I'm just really tired and I need to stop what I'm doing and rest, or stop soon and rest. Or it can point to something, you know, a greater human need that we need, you know, oh, I'm feeling disrespected and it's important for me to feel respected. So how can I respond in this moment?
I love that. Great insight. So once that business owner achieves that $1 million year, what mindset shifts or practical steps would you recommend to help them keep the million?
Well, personal work is never finished. So continue that meditation, continue paying attention to your thoughts and your patterns of behavior, because that's where all of this lies. As the more information we have about ourselves, the more we're going to learn, the more we're able to change and grow and achieve what we want to.
I think also just uncovering those money beliefs and how they might be holding someone back, because I've heard stories of business owners, you know, getting to that $1 million mark, but just not having the skill set to keep it. Because just because you make it doesn't mean that you still have it and that you're using it in the way, in the best way, to help achieve your long-term goals. And so I think, you know, even having some of the, you know, still doing those daily meditations and mindset work is super important. Also understanding your money beliefs, even understanding just like how you use money as a tool, because we are inherently savers or we're spenders. Like we're one or the other. And you might be a spender who has reached that seven-figure mark, and then you find the money just kind of slipping through your fingers and you aren't sure why. And then it might be important for, you know, for someone to, you know, reach out to you as a money coach or myself as a financial advisor to help create a plan so that the money doesn't slip through their fingers and has a place to land that helps further their long-term goals.
Yes. Yeah, I love that you brought up that you also need skills at higher levels, because, you know, I'm so into the inner work that it's important that every milestone we make, we reach, you know, it puts us in a different place, and we might need different resources at that point. We might need to bring in different professionals who we haven't worked with before to help us at that level.
Totally agree, because I even think about, like, no business owner gets to the seven-figure mark alone. It's impossible to get there doing all the work yourself. Like, you really need a team to support your growth. You need a team to get to that first six figures. And you might need a completely different team internally to get to seven figures. Mm-hmm. And so understanding, you know, what your needs are, just from like a business perspective, you know that you have to put, you know, may have to shuffle around some players of your team to help get you to the next level of your business. It's similar in your personal life and in your personal finances, where you might have started out, you know, with like a bookkeeper or CPA, and they were enough to get you to your six-figure mark, and maybe even like multiple six figures. But certainly, like, as you start to cross over that $250,000, $500,000 mark, approaching seven figures, you definitely need to pull in more resources and really build out a team of advisors at that point. You know, that would include a financial advisor, a tax strategist, an estate planning attorney, a money coach, like all these people kind of working together to help get you where you want to ultimately be, to create the legacy that you're looking for.
Yes, yes. It takes much more.
It takes a team to get there. That is for sure. Like, once you build out that team of advisors, I think any business owner's life is going to become a lot less complicated because there's all these people kind of like working for you with your best interest in mind, who know the end goal, and they are just going to push as hard as they can to get you there and keep you there so that you can continue to grow and excel in your business. Well, this has been such an enlightening conversation. Like I said, Emily, I have my own homework to do to make sure that my mindset starts to shift to help get to the seven-figure mark. And all the tools and tips that you shared will be really invaluable to our listeners to help get them there as well. Thank you so much for joining us today. If someone wants to learn more about their money beliefs and how they can get to the root that might be of things that might be holding them back as it relates to their financial growth, how can they reach you?
Yeah, thanks, Allison. And it was a pleasure to be here. People can find me at me, myself, and money.com.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Diversity Discourse, the official podcast of Minority Business Entrepreneur Magazine. We hope you enjoyed it. Please be sure to subscribe so that we can join you again. For more tips and notes from the show, check us out at mbemag.com. And to find out which guests and topics we'll be discussing next, sign up for our newsletter at mbemag.com/pulse. That's mbemag.com/pulse. We'll talk to you next time.